Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we begin, sponsor mentions from some of our great friends. Muck off. I feel like I'm swearing, like I'm getting rid of one of my F-bombs when I say that. It is spring. You should be riding outside. And did I mention that you should be also taking care of your bike out on the gritty roads and trails? They're gritty. Have you tried actually washing your bike on a regular basis? Well, Muck Off has all the tools and supplies you need to keep your steed shiny. Seriously. We here use what we talk about, and Muck Off makes sure all is clean and dialed. Use our link at PackFiller. Next off, Cycle Systems Online. Become your own mechanic. Work in the industry. Learn how to properly diagnose, repair, and maintain all of your bikes. Yes, all of them. Cycle Systems Online is just what you need at your own pace with the best instructors in the business. Industry professionals on those. Some of the video clips are actually they're like video podcast series, and you can, you know, the guy from Magura Brakes is working on specific brake. Magura? Is it Magura? Magura? I don't know. See, I need to take
Magura.
Okay.
Magura.
This is Magura. This is Magura. We've been dating for a while. Untapped Maple. Magura. Untapped Maple, flavors galore and energy unbound with pure Vermont finest nectar at the core. Untapped is easily digestible and great tasting fuel to get you through. All of us believe in this magic elixir, and you should too. Use our link to get to the Untapped train. Lastly, be sure and check out the Pack Filler online store. Swag galore, all kind of stuff. Let us know what you'd like to see there. Let's play bikes. Still no new team, but Lance, I don't know, man. I hope if you're listening to this dude, let me know you're okay. Cause he's either he ghosted me or
he went dark.
He's hurt. Mm-hmm. He's like lying somewhere on the floor, just going bad, reaching up to his computer.
That's well, really, you got some good really bumpers morbid out of him.
Yeah, they're great. And he did this like
a long time ago.
7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh. let's just say that this podcast episode, if it was a race written by Tadej Pogačar, I'd just say now that about 2/3 of the way through, I'm going to make a self-deprecating joke. Paul will mention either tires or brakes, and Jackson will maybe say a bad word. That's how predictable we are here. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Pack Filler Cycling Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Bulger, and we are live via packfiller.com. And on YouTube. If you subscribe to the show, you already know that. Chances are you got a little notification. And if you don't, you should try it. You can come even play along. Speaking of which, let's get to the game itself tonight with tonight's prologue question for the panel. Gentlemen, nothing to do with cycling tonight. If you could take a prop from any movie set, what would it be? A prop. Should I start with David's introduction since he's not here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's the reason we would all be heard on mic, even if our individual mics were muted. Mr. David Wakes.
That is great.
Hey, that really kind of hurt my feelings. What the hell, man?
That's not even that loud. I know. It's like.
Here's. Thanks. Hey, man.
Yeah, huh? You like hear his breathing more than anything.
Hey, man. Huh? Saddle sore.
And then he takes a drink of beer. It's like.
Yeah, I know.
Louder than his voice. Yeah.
His mic's muted tonight, so you might not hear the refrigerator behind him. So first off, he's the reason we have fresh beer in the studio, Mr. Paul Mann. Thanks to his connections with our friends at Benedito's Pub, we have the Citra Burst IPA and the Kolsch.
So good.
Which one are you having?
Citra.
Citra. Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is the one I get into trouble after group rides, and we stop at the pub and sit on the deck and have only two
20 ounces.
Yeah.
And I ride home, get home into the, my wife's doing yard work. She's like, hey, you want to help? I'm like, in a little bit. I'm asleep. So anyway, thanks to Benedito's Pub. Yeah, great local place in Spokane. Two locations. They down to two? Yeah. Awesome, and they do their own beer. So great, thanks. Paul, how are you, first of all?
All right, doing okay, yeah.
And second of all, what would you steal from a movie set?
The dude's carpet. Not the original, but the one that he got from the other Lebowski.
Oh, because it really tied the room together.
It did.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
I don't
like
want
that.
The one that Woo peed on.
Yeah.
I want that one.
Hey, man. Next, he's the reason we're being represented at the Tour de Bloom. Drink, Sam Waples. Godspeed, sir. Godspeed. Mm-hmm. You won't be with us next week.
Yep. Oh, I'll have to be doing final prep before I leave Peel out of town on Wednesday. I'm going literally from work to there. I shortened my day enough to get over there with like 15 minutes to spare before packet pickup ends.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, make it.
We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But what would you steal from a movie set? Yeah. You can't take, you know, the plane from Top Gun.
Dang it. All right. Well,
his helmet.
Then his jacket. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my God, his helmet.
There you go.
That's so cool.
It's just Maverick on it.
Yeah, I know. I would race in that thing for sure.
With the mask.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you right now, I would
coming out of a quick turn. You take off the mask like they do when it's shit's getting heavy. And then clip it back on. I'm going to attack and you clip it on. Let's go.
That is a great answer. I was going to say Thor's hammer, but I think that might be better.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Next, he's the reason we can all... No, that's David. He's the reason our team currently sits undefeated, Mr. Jackson Bulger. Oh, okay. No pressure. We are like 48 hours away from our next race.
It's not pressure. It's fuel.
Oh.
So no, do we now whip it out and say what our plan is?
Nope. No. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
None of that. Attacking from the gun.
From the gun.
Yep.
And I rip everybody's legs off.
There we go.
Let's see. The... Prop. I had a couple of things going through my mind. For some of you who don't know, I do kind of like the Mandalorian series quite a bit.
Oh,
so
that's the way.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "Oh, let's take Baby Yoda," because he is technically a prop, but that feels weird.
That is.
So I'll take the Mandalorian helmet.
Okay.
That's a pretty sweet helmet.
But that feels a little weird.
Like if you take him, like
I took your baby. God, that maxed out the mics, didn't it?
Well, like there
are away from the mic when I scream.
There are things out there that people are like, I want to eat Baby Yoda.
What?
Yeah, people are like, it's weird. People are weird about Baby Yoda.
Weird people out there.
So
they're also serial killers.
I'm not going to join myself in on that. I'll just take the helmet.
Yeah, good call.
Because I also think it kind of be interesting to see what Pedro Pascal looks through when he's acting. Because it's the eyes are so small.
Mm-hmm.
You think Baby Yoda tastes like chicken?
Oh, most likely.
Doesn't everything?
Yeah. What a letdown. It's like, you know, you spend so much time, you know, probably paying a lot of money, you know, to go to one of those really high-end food dinners, you know, that are kind of hidden, and, you know, a tent in the middle of nowhere and, you know, kind of super expensive. And then they're like, we're going to serve you Baby Yoda. And you eat Baby Yoda. And it's like, shit.
Just chicken.
It's like an $8,000 plate of chicken.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
Yeah. Damn.
Wow.
That's dark.
Damn.
He's just a puppet.
Yes, yeah. Me, I'm the reason we all have a nonsensical name like Packville or associated with our cycling lives. And I apologize for that. I'm Pat Bulger, and I would steal... I started with the cycling-based one, and I would think of stealing the Mozzie from Breaking Away, which was a beautiful bike. Mm-hmm. But then I went, duh, I'd steal Christian Bale's Batsuit.
Yeah.
Gotta have that, you know?
That would be cool.
That's me. And I did want that one particularly, because Michael Keaton's one, you can't move the neck. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm saying I would wear it.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. When I hurt my neck, my wife and I have a common phrase. If you hurt your neck, well, you call it Batman neck, because you can't move your neck. Everything moves with the shoulders.
That is the craziest thing.
So it's like, God damn it, I got Batman neck. How'd you get it? Oh, I rolled over.
Well, and it's also bulletproof, so it's like, you got to wear it.
Yeah.
You can just put yourself in the worst situations, and you're fine.
You could raise crits on thinners with that.
Think of the stink. Oh, shit, you're right.
Wow.
I think we just decided that you're buying the...
Buying the bat suit. Yeah. Well, everybody, a week has gone by, and I haven't ridden with any of you. So just recap cycling lives. Let me know how it's going. Sam, I'm going to get to you. We'll let you go last, because you've got this slight little thing on the horizon. Jackson, how's your cycling life been?
It was good. Last week I did... What the hell did I even do last week?
You didn't do Saturday.
Thursday.
Well, I didn't... Yeah. Oh, we did Thursday. That was a good one. That was really good.
Yeah.
We did like a Thursday Night Worlds type of situation, and it was really good. We were climbing, which was not what I was hoping for.
But Valley Chapel?
Yeah. But I did a lot better than I thought I would. I did a lot better.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Both David and I were like, damn, Jackson. Like, he was there.
Really?
Yeah. Which, like, and you actually went to the very top of the climb. I didn't do that. I was like, nah.
Really?
I was fourth up the climb. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know last year I was not even close to there, but that was great.
Can I make this about me?
Sure. Yeah. It always is.
See that you guys went for, like, a fast group ride, and I didn't know anything about it.
Well, okay.
Dad, you're not in the proper text group or anything like that. Well, okay. I'm not even looking at Jackson right now because I'm upset.
Because you know.
I'm hurt, man.
You're in the group text, though.
You know what the fuck it is. You know what it is? It's like, my dad's really slow, so let's just go for a ride without him.
This was your fault.
Yeah, you're in that group.
You were in it.
You then messaged on it later.
Yeah.
I did because he told me about it. I haven't checked that group in like...
That's our fault.
Yeah. Somebody should have looked at me and said, dude, do you know about the Thursday night ride? And I was saying, what Thursday night ride? Oh, the Thursday night ride on what? At me or what? What's that app? Group me. Okay. Because I got to have 9 fucking different text apps. And I was hurt. And I get it. I understand.
Next week.
Dad's got a bad ticker. He's slow. If he crashes, he's going to die.
Yeah.
He's no fun to be around anymore. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
That was it.
We all talked about it, and that's what we decided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew it. Yep. Mute, you bastards. But we'd be all hurt through David's mic. Yeah. What else did you get? Sorry, I had
No, you're good. But other than that, I have been dealing with saddle sore issues, which are stupid.
I was wondering if you were going to share.
Yeah, that's why I took Saturday off. Mm-hmm. They're annoying. They're really annoying because it's like they just don't quit. You have to. The only way to get rid of it is really to just take time off.
I'm just
talking about like in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
I was like, Jesus Christ,
he's got a family of them.
Yeah.
Zach look like a teenager.
There's daddy, mama.
And I also
look at a new baby.
So I was trying to get rid, like, just get that squashed. So I think we're good.
Bad word.
Well, it wasn't. As David said, you don't touch them. You leave them alone.
Yeah.
But so I think we're good now, but Sam and I went out on Saturday for 2 hours of headwind. Yeah, every turn we made, it was just
Sunday.
Yeah. It was just straight headwind, but it was good. I did over 200 something for the entirety of that ride.
Wow.
We were just next to each other the whole time.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty good though.
God.
So, and I looked on Strava and I have a new FTP.
Yeah,
which is great.
Strava chooses your FTP.
Well, it just gives you your best like 20-minute, 30-minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's better. So
nice.
Yeah.
Don't share.
Mm-mm.
You don't want anybody to know.
It's all mine.
It's 202.
It's 150, and I'm going to leave it at that.
look at
Oh, it doesn't matter either. I can drop them or I drop them.
That's true.
You know, it's like, I'll flex anytime. Plus, mine's not that high.
Paul, I'm pretty defeated. Paul Main, the guy who moved from his house to have less woes about his house. How was your cycling week?
Pretty good. Other than,
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I mean, I did have to miss Sunday's ride.
Yeah.
Sounds like a heck of a one. Yeah. Just because, well, we're adding some new cabinets, and we had have a carpenter friend of mine who cut out, and then it disrupted all this electrical stuff, so I had to fix that. And that was that picture I sent you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an opening of a cabinet going in. Then we have another one going in where an ice machine was there, and we don't use ice at all, so we pulled that out. Oh, it was belly up anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, Saturday was a decent ride. I went out Saturday, missed Sunday, and I rode today. So.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I just pulled the wuss card with you guys. Yeah. I was going to go with you guys, but it was like in 4 hours, or not even four, in 3 hours, it's going to be 20 degrees warmer. And so I bailed on you, and I apologize for that.
You went on a mountain bike ride.
I did. I went on a 3-hour mountain bike ride. And it was good. It was good.
Well, I wasn't even...
I came home a little destroyed, though.
I mean, I can't, like, I wasn't going to go either.
I
ran into them out there because I was like, I can't commit to making it at that time. And then I ran into them, and I'm like, let's do this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you caught them,
later? I started going the other direction. I'm like, if I ran into them, I run into them. Oh. And then I ran into them, I'm like, yeah, I'll ride with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so you got caught.
The group text wasn't really like that active on it. It was like we were all kind of...
Yeah. So you got caught. It's like you're going out to, you know, the clubs and you see the friend you don't really like. And you're like, oh, there you are, man. Where you been?
Pretty much. I mean, I was happy to run into them. I just figured that I didn't want to hold them up. So I was like, I can't commit to like, oh, guys, I'll be right there.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes later.
Gee, that doesn't sound like you.
No, I know.
No. Yeah. How's the prep coming for, it's next weekend, right?
Yep.
Yeah. How's it coming?
It's good. I actually, the long condensed story, did the last 4-day block just to see how my legs act for 4 days, right? And Thursday was good. I broke some more power numbers on Saturday. And then Sunday I was pretty cracked. But yeah, so I did rides all 4 days that were pretty good. Like legs were definitely sore each day waking up, and I'm like, gotta do it again, gotta do it again.
Wow.
But because it's just like there's also something mental about when you hurt like that, being like, you gotta go, like get moving. So it's, I mean, training is going well, but I'm like looking at like power to weight ratios and stuff. And
don't
like,
do that. Take it from me.
It's insane.
Stupid numbers, and they don't mean anything.
Right. And it's like I actually did the math and like where I was back in the day when I was a competitor in Cat 2s, right, and Cat 1s, like, you know, I would finish top-ish percentile. And like my numbers aren't any different. I weigh more, but I put out significantly more power. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Like I'm tapering this week into, you know, Tour de Bloom next week on Thursday.
You got past the intimidation point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were dealing with your demons for a while.
I was dealing with demons, and I was telling David that like I was kind of talking myself out of it. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, like maybe you should bring my mountain bike because maybe I'm going to get dropped and I just mountain bike on Saturday. And I was like, how does this say that I'm going to get dropped? If it's going to happen, it'll happen on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because Ace set up this hellish stage, what I've never done, but apparently you have. Maybe
it's
you have.
Tour of Malaga. Did you ever do that? No. In Wenatchee?
I don't think so.
Man, mid-80s all the way through, I think, even the first part of the 90s.
I don't know if I did.
It goes up. We did the short laps.
Mm-hmm.
But part of Tour de Bloom back in the day. Drink.
Hey, we're going to be talking about it a lot, so.
Yeah.
Pace yourself.
He added a stage, I think, in 2013, where you went up to the top where the ski resort is.
Mission Ridge, right?
Yep. And then you go back down. So he added that. And it is like 14 miles of climbing.
So in total, I looked up the mileage. I have 17 miles of climbing and a 65-mile stage, and I think that it's around 10K of vert.
Mm-hmm. That's like a gravel fondo.
It's going to rule itself out. Like either I'm going to be finishing within the time cut, and if I am, I'm going for it. Or I don't finish in the time cut, and I go down to the 2-3s, and I race the rest of the weekend in the 2-3s.
They'll let you do that.
Yeah, Ace set it up like that.
That's brilliant.
Which, like, bravo to him. Yeah, man, he is crushing it.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot speak highly enough. Like, I've heard of so many different people from around the country coming for this race. He's done such a killer job promoting.
We're going to touch base on that.
Yeah.
That's, in fact, going to be the topic here. But what's the objective? Are you, your brother's not racing with you.
No, unfortunately, no. He is coming over, so he'll watch me on Saturday.
Solo in a stacked field.
Yeah.
What's the objective? Sit down, shut up, and hold on?
Yep. And okay. So, like, I'm hoping to gain fitness from this, but I really just want to be a part of it. There's a full caravan, you know, like all the pro teams' cars are going to be there. Like
Rolling enclosure.
Oh, wow. Like, it's cool. Like, how cool to be a part of that again. Like, I haven't done that since 2016 at Tour Walla Walla.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm just excited to be a part of that again. But, no, it's just finish the race. If I could finish every single day within the time cut and just get a place in it, that would be such a huge objective if you look at the teams that are stacked. Because, like, even Ace emailed all of us individual riders or people with less than five people, and he goes, you guys need to team up.
Oh, really?
You're at a serious disadvantage. And I'm like, Ace, challenge accepted. Mama didn't raise no bitch. Ace is like, no, seriously.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, he's like, also, I told him, like, I don't have any support there. Like, what do I do for neutral feeds, right? Yeah. And he's like, if you need a feed, I will personally hand you a feed. And wow. I was like, ah, thanks, Ace. Like, you know that you're going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So.
World needs more people like that.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, he is, yeah.
I'm glad he picked cycling.
I know.
Yeah.
He could have done that in anything. Yeah. He doesn't look like a cyclist. He may ride a bike.
How do we describe this person and their movement to people who don't live in this region? How would you, I mean, this is the story of a person who should be on the show sometime. Mm-hmm. Just kind of went to a bike race, saw it, volunteered, got excited, and just kind of picked up the mantle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And has had zero experience in race promotion. I'm pretty accurate at this point. And if anybody's listening and knows the story better than me, please do, because I'm just based off of all hearsay. But then he took it upon himself to go, this is a cool event. This is a cool sport. We should keep doing something. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I'm going to. And before I get to it, I want to plug some of the other races. This weekend here in Spokane, the Dirt Abides. Series comes to Spokane. The Wednesday Night Mountain Bike Series starts in May and continues through June in the 24 Hours of Riverside. Is Memorial Day weekend, and we have no major... Well, RC3 is coming up...
Beginning of June.
Yeah, beginning of June. So we've got a pretty good calendar around us. But I do want to talk about this race that's coming up, and it'll lead us straight into the topic. Three road races for the pros and two for everyone else, including a TT and a crit. Pro 1-2s, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Five stages.
Everybody else, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Am I correct?
Yep.
Correct.
I mean, 3 days or four for the pros, 1-2s. I want to talk about the challenges first for a bike rider. The legitimacy of scheduling your working life to attend 1 or 2 days early.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, who of us would blink about doing that? Would you hesitate? Was this something that you're like, you got to commit to it, that, you know, you're okay, honey, I'm sorry. And I hate to always make it a wife thing, because it's not a wife
it's a serious time commit. And, like, I'll pull back the curtains for this. I've been training for this since September, right? And, like, I mean, a very inside scoop on this is I've paid probably so far for lodging and race expenses, $750.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
No.
And you have to think about now food on top of that, or all your race gear, everything. It's expensive, right? Well, also time training. I mean, I've now had, like, serious commitment for most weekends. I'm out training, and that's time away from my wife, right?
Yeah,
like, and then, like, the basement's taking up the other chart. So it's like, hey, babe, sorry, you're going to have to wait until after this event, right? Like, we can't hang out that much right now. And so, truly, like, that is a big time commitment. But, you know, it's just, it takes a lot. Like, our, we had a friend that passed away, and, like, his memorial is actually on that Friday.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've been training for this since, like, September. And so I was, like, at a serious conflict of, like,
oh, wow.
Do I stay here? And because it's on Friday is the, you know, memorial, and miss the Tour de Bloom that I've, you know, made this massive investment in, or do I go there and celebrate him there, right? So it's, like, it's a huge time piece for all of it.
Wow.
Like, and that's what racing is, but I don't know, like, I want to support road racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's worthwhile.
Because, I mean, on a personal, it's all about me.
It is.
But I was thinking about it, racing this year, but I get, as per my job, 2 personal days a year, mm-hmm. a calendar year. I'm a high school teacher, mm-hmm. so we get a lot of days off throughout the school year. I have sick hours, things like that, but I get 2 personal days off a year. And because I promote the 24-hour mountain bike race, those are my 2 personal days leading into that event. And so I was thinking about, okay, if I want to go to a race like this, how am I going to juggle this? Do I ask for them anyway? Do I take them without pay? What's the consequence? You know, Jackson, I don't know what your thinking was about it in terms of attendance or not. Has there been...
Because you were gonna. Mm-hmm. You were gonna do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. But I will say the thing that hits me is that it was a really big price for entry.
Yeah.
Which is something that always I have to think about. It's like, yeah. It's terrible, but teaching at the level that I do just doesn't cut it for affording that.
Okay.
So that was what batted my eye. I wouldn't time off. Who cares? When it comes to that, like, mm-hmm. I work at a place where you can just fill in, people can fill in for me really sure. easily. So that's nice. But it's just sometimes paying $300 for a race entry is really tough.
Yep.
What does the course profile do in your willingness to show up to a bike race? Paul, I mean.
Well, that, you know, I'll never do the pro race. Yeah.
What?
Duh.
come on.
But, you know, that particular course, well, the only equivalent to something with that much elevation, because that's not my strength by any means, is we have Baker City, which is a pretty big race.
Yeah.
And down in Baker City, Oregon, I think it's about 100 miles, 180 miles from here. The last stage is the climbing stage. So to me, it's like there's a road race. The next day, there's a morning TT criterium in the afternoon. Then the last stage is up this stinking mountain at 8,000 feet. So, you know, I would have fun on those other days and just say, well, do the best I can mm-hmm. on the last day.
Yeah.
Now to enter in like you are, you're going to get stuck like a squealing pig on the first one. First day is just...
Yeah. Oh, sorry to everybody who just got that.
Oh, it's your, so real.
Earbuds just flew out of people's ears.
That's going to be me breathing going up third time.
But I think I like challenges and stuff. The thing is I started thinking Saturday, Sam and I were talking about it, riding next to each other, and I'm thinking, that is... I can't do that anymore. I can't race Pro 1-2s. But there was a period where you pulled up and you had Continental Pros like in Washington Trust Classic, people who
yeah.
mentioned many times, you know. Davis Finney, who won stages in the Tour de France, was there. Michael Zanoli.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all these, you could just name, like, even Andy Hampson's raced here. I mean,
one year at the Washington Trust Classic, I got dropped because Alexi Graywald opened up the gap in front of me.
That bastard.
I know.
Gold medal.
Bastard.
The only road cycling medal that the U.S. has ever had.
He let a gap go. And I was like, shit. That was it for
were
him.
Were you swearing at him?
No.
Alexi. You went back like, to his brother, Rishi. Rishi, what's wrong with your brother?
Yeah.
Right. Have him shut him down. Yeah.
No, Alexi would stab me through the throat. He's just that kind of dude.
Yeah, he was. He was nasty.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, like, that whole idea, when you race in packs of 100,
I was just thinking of Alexi stabbing me through. Who carries a penknife with them? Why? Anyway, sorry.
Jesus, you came with a knife? What the fuck's wrong with you? Start gurgling.
Yeah.
Phil Miller, can I get a time penalty for this?
Sorry. Anyway. Yeah. But okay. I'm gonna jump around here because Paul, you were cool enough to give me some race numbers that you researched today in terms of on bike registration or bike reg. Tour of the Gila, am I pronouncing that correctly? 131 entrants at this point.
They didn't have the pro list.
Yeah.
It is a pro-ranked race, isn't it?
Yeah, Project Echelon's going to it.
Yeah, so the funny thing is on bike reg, they just had the 2-3 and everything below. USAC and that was 100.
Okay.
Yeah, that was 131.
Tour de Bloom is sitting at 538 riders.
That's
right
crazy.
Now. That's
full
insane.
Women's field. Like, I mean, well, not. I don't know if the numbers are quite full, but like huge.
103 and yeah, the Pro 1-2 right now.
Yeah.
Garden State stage race?
Yeah, that's in New Jersey.
Okay.
That's the only one I could find in this time. Yeah. It wouldn't be fair to go too far because people are still registered.
759 entrants.
And that's the East Coast, so that...
These are nice numbers to see on paper. Tulsa Tough. I wanted to know if this was a typo. 2,725 people competing in Tulsa Tough.
And that's in June.
I bet that has to be real.
And that's the majority of Tulsa Tough is only three events for the normal human.
Four crits,
isn't it, for the pros?
I think it's three.
Okay.
Three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our district.
2,700 people. They're going to be
should I go do that?
Ass to mouth here in terms of around the crit.
We should all go do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
The Montan crew did it back in the day.
I would do it. And Baker City, our local race, 118 is not.
And that's the latest. That's late June.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The topic I want to talk about tonight is what makes a race worthy of attending. And we've kind of touched on this so far. But if you had to prioritize races and put specific things in order to importance of how you would rank, for example, location, distance away, how far away is it, as well as the actual place and things to do. Because I'm not going to lie, sometimes you're going with family members and family members don't want to sit in the middle of nowhere and, you know, or the airplane hangar, you know, and watch you go round and round and round, you know. Mm-hmm. The field, the race quality, the profile, the courses, as I said earlier. I mean, are you going to pay the amount of money to go and get your ass handed to you like me if you can't climb? Sam's thinking reflection right now. He's going, yeah, I'm
it's
about to.
Hurt so good.
Opportunities. You know, the opportunities, for example, if it's a stage race, are you still able to race the next day if you get your ass handed to you? Multiple races you can pick or choose, or just one biggie. Is prize money an incentive for you? So I'll touch base on all these. And then I do want to get into the fact of entry fees, as Jackson talked about. So talk to me, you guys, about location and how far races are away from where you are and how far you're willing to go for a bike race. It's because the last one I traveled far for was Belgian Waffle. Jackson and I did that. Far. I'm thinking, beyond 300 miles for those of us over here on the West Coast. Paul, you went to Nationals. That was a big trip. How far are you willing to go for a bike race? And how severe, how major of a bike race does it need to be?
I would say that, like, Wenatchee, for the expenses that I'm putting out, is probably as far as I'm willing to go. Because if I think about, like, I guess, I mean, I would also consider Tulsa Tough because there's not the risk of you can't do the next day, right?
Sure.
It's like something happens, you get pulled from a crit, well, you can better luck next day, right? Yeah. That is the one piece. But other than that, like, I'd probably want it to be within a 5 to 6 hour drive in my current state of life. Like, I just don't have time to really travel further, and you have to take into, like, costs of flying your bike and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Belgian Waffle, my wife and I basically bought an RV.
Yeah, that was really
to go to that event.
Yeah. I mean, I would consider going to, like, a Tulsa Tough. That's a lot to figure out, because you have to bring your nice stuff on a flight. And that's kind of freaky if you don't have a hard bag.
Tulsa Tough?
Dude, I would be up for it. Maybe like a next year, maybe?
Okay. My calendar is open in as of the second week of June every year.
Okay.
See, the thing is, I'll tell you what. Like, you start moving up the ranks a little bit. Like, I'm a Cat 3. Like, look at me. Wow, I'm going to win something really cool. But it's just like you start to move up the ranks, and then you start to realize that all these races have those categories.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just have to be a pro. You can just go and race like a Cat 3 race, which is kind of cool. So, like, seeing something like that, like, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. I'm still newish into, like, the whole racing scene of it all. So, like, I'd be interested to see something like that. But that's like a once in a lifetime type of thing, you know. Just typically, really? I'd love to go to like a I would consider going to Portland or Vancouver. I mean, I know that area pretty well, so like that's a part of it. But also, I think it'd just be kind of cool if we all went. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. If we, I need like a group to commit to.
Yeah, it was hard to commit to Tour de Bloom with just me.
I think collectively we dropped the ball on you a little bit, unintentionally, but
yeah, I don't blame anybody for it. It's a huge commitment and everybody has stuff going on, but it's just, yeah, it's hard. It's tough when you're just going solo. We like Montana last year was freaking blast.
That was cool.
There was 3 hours away, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Paul, what you had some emotional ties to going to Nationals last year. Was that a one-off thing, or is there something that drives you to maybe do more of the big events?
I would like to return without having all the conflicts that I had prior to know, training. But, you know, speaking of like Tulsa Tough, yeah, I'd like to go down there and do that. But those are the you kind of something of that nature of Nationals, Tulsa Tough, or you want to go, do something else big. Like that, to me, I have to plan like almost a year ahead, and that's my commitment because there's so much financial base on that. And get clearance from my wife because, you know, there's scheduling or...
This is a partnership. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so...
Well, and it's also important to remember it's not permission. It's just like... It's like a scheduling thing.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. You know, and she's my social director. She knows what's happening all the time anyways. Like, no, she's got a calendar. I kid you not.
That doesn't work.
And yeah, it's like, that's exactly right.
Yep. Oh, I know.
So that's, you know, if something like Tulsa Tough, that would be great. I would go down in a heartbeat, you know, if it happens. And I've always, you know, like, I thought about going back to Nationals and really working at it this year because kind of our big commitments are going to be over in May. That's why I couldn't make Tour de Bloom.
Yeah.
My wife is leaving next Tuesday to Norway to learn a certain knitting style over there in Norway. So I have to watch a stupid dog. So,
I love and respect the shit out of your wife, but you know how many people probably just laughed at the fact that
that.
But it's just as stupid as pedaling a bike.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
No.
But I think it's
important. Pedaling a bike is more stupid. Shit. Sorry, Renee.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But I think those are the things. Those are the things that you have to on bigger events, and the reason why I thought I get excited looking at calendars and stuff like back in the heyday, you know, I was so whimsical. I didn't date for 2.5 years because I wanted to race bikes. You know, I would go out with some girl. Hey, you want to go out? Yeah, that's fine. And she's trying to get serious. And it's like, why are you always spending your time on the bike? Because that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so people would just call up. Hey, did you hear about this race? This before the internet. Yeah. And so, no, I didn't. Where is it at? You know, I'd go anywhere.
Registration.
I'd go. I never did make it to Ashland. Did you ever do Ashland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's a great race.
And that's a heck of a drive.
Yeah.
Well, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I did that in college.
Stage races were very expensive. Were
airplanes around back then?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Except Fred Flintstone had to power them, and we had to have a pterodactyl flapping his wings along the side of the fucking thing.
But do you remember it? Because it kind of, I guess, with you speaking of the price of, and maybe we'll bring in, throw that next.
I'm about to jump into that, yeah.
Stage races were always like, Jesus, that's like 3 days work.
Yeah.
And so you didn't do these big stage races. They didn't come up but maybe once a month at the most.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do all of them.
A lot of it was the weekend stage race format.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, two on one day, one on the next day.
Yeah. Yep.
Does prize money enter your minds at any given point in time? Jackson's thinking the most about it.
Because I think about, it's tough because you only think about a certain type of race that would fit you. You know? So, like, I mean, a threes crit, realistically, I'm thinking about it, I might have a chance of winning that. Yeah. So, like, if there's, like, a good, if there's, like, a, you know, a good purse at the end of a, at the, at the end of a race, it might be, like, a good incentive. But it's not something I ever really think about when entering a race. Like, I just sign up for it because it sounds like a good time. Yeah. Mostly.
Sam?
No, but a crowd preem is something I want to get.
Crowd preems are cool.
Crowd preems are cool, and they're usually big.
And I, Paul, while you were kindly pouring another beverage for me, do you ever think about prize money? Have you ever thought about it?
When we were racing, I knew, because there were so many races, people chase the money. So the smaller races didn't have the big purses. So they're like, why go there?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go to Missoula because Seattle has, you know, whatever race, and the price list is like double three times. That never mattered to me. I just wanted to go where there was good racing. Mm-hmm. But if everybody's chasing money, then I'd just follow them. I was never in the prize. You know, I wasn't going to collect anyway. I was never that good.
I remember I won like $75 in a stage race at Cat 3s, and I was like, I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I also remember a lot of merchandise. Mm-hmm. You get, back in the day, you get a set of wheels or something like that. You know, or rims or something like that. Because they would just give you the rims and you build your own fucking wheels. Or stuff like that. And I remember that being cool. And then the farther you got up the ranks, the more it was, I don't want stuff. I want
money.
And, you know, I get it. You know, being on the other side, being on the promoter side of events, it cracks me up sometimes when you got people who are like going, you know, we should give the, you know, for example, a 24-hour mountain bike race, the solos should probably get money because, you know, they're doing this for a living. I'm like, what? They're coming with what?
Wrong sport.
Yeah. The guy maybe ate 400 calories all weekend, you know, in his little single Bunsen burner stove. So, Jesus, let's just give him another stove and tell him to piss off. But no, it's, and I understand, you know, that the pros aren't even in it for the money. It's the low budget pros who are probably in it because they need to get gas money to their next gig, and they're sponsored, so they don't necessarily need a set of Envy wheels because they're sponsored by Shimano Reynolds or something like that. And they don't need that. But prize money has never entered my mind.
But that you know, there is, back when we race, it's not a big deal now. I think there's that strange thing about the way races are done.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Scott McSpadden.
Yeah.
I mean, they, pre-money was how they got from one race to the next. He and his teammate.
Yeah.
And they would, and they ran out of money, and they're in the middle. They're calling their team because they're supposed to send some money in Texas. And he tells the story of that. All I could afford is a 5-pound bag of potatoes. And they couldn't stay anywhere. They just found some dried cactus in the desert and started a fire and threw them in the fire and then ate. He said it was this is after like a stage race. They were like starving and famished. They're just grabbing these potatoes.
Man,
so David, sometimes money is important. Yeah, but, you know. Yeah,
David and I have memories of that, of like Enumclaw and being domestiques for our GC guy who was in the lead, and just finishing that and pounding like 8 McChickens or something like that because they're $1. It was like for
Taco
$8.
Bell, man.
Oh
and
God, Taco Bell, like
yeah. How about entry fees? Tour de Bloom is $300 for four stages.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Tour of the Gila is $250 for four stages. Baker City's $275 for 3 days, four races. You know, I'll talk about some of the other entry fees here in a minute, but let's just talk about these stage race entry fees. Tulsa Tough is anywhere from $180 to $210.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like I love all the other races, but
for
Tulsa Tough is
for
the cheapest
races. For three races, $180 to $210.
But with the most like publicity. That's crazy.
No.
That might be too, because it is a controlled, it's cheaper to put on a crit.
As a stage race.
So registration bang for your buck. What makes the race worth the money? Are you going to races beyond, with your expectations, anything beyond a clean race and a number to pin on? When you're going to a stage race, what are your expectations for your registration bang for your buck?
Yeah, just a number and, you know, and information, you know.
Yeah.
Where did we meet? I don't need a swag bag that doesn't do anything. I don't need another fucking t-shirt. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't care. Because I never wore the t-shirts that were given to me.
Back in the 80s.
I cleaned my chain with them.
Back in the 80s and 90s, you got a t-shirt, you got a water bottle. I mean, I used to have bags of commemorative water bottles from races. Mm-hmm. But you don't get any of that stuff anymore.
No.
Jackson and Sam, newer generation. What do you expect for $300? Sam, what are you expecting in return?
I'm thinking here, and I think I don't want to think about it.
$300 is a lot of money.
Yeah. I think I just want to know that it's a donation, because it's just really going to hurt. Yeah, I mean, if I think, like, truly, like, if we're being honest about this, like, my expectations going into this, I know that once we start climbing those climbs, I'm gone. Like, I'm just riding a time trial for 4 hours, 5 hours on Thursday, right? And then hoping to God that I can, like, suck a wheel on Friday.
This is five days of groceries.
Yeah, I know. So I just think about, like, I'm excited to, you know, to just hurt, I think is what I'm going for. And then just the experience of, like, being in a big field, right?
Yeah. Do you think about it when you're clicking that registration box?
I mean, I'm now in a point in my life where I'm not.
Yeah. Jackson, it stopped you from going this year.
Yeah. That took a lot of money.
It's a shit ton of money.
And it's something that you have to think about in just living. Like, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go to a bike race. It's like, if I don't do this, then, like, or if I do this, then it's like, got to think about every other little thing that's going on.
You have to pick your bike race.
Yeah, you do.
See, I'm also in the fortunate, like, world that my wife is an incredible budgeter. So, like, every month we have funds going into different things. So it's like, we have money that's for this type of stuff, right? So it's like, I don't really think about it. And, like, we want these experiences in our life, whether it's traveling or events or any of that. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just fortunate to have her to do that stuff, because otherwise I would be probably being like, I bought Chips Ahoy this week.
Why didn't I buy them? The store brand.
Should have bought the Chipmates.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's
like, I would have been, that's how I used to do it back in the day. So, yeah, no, I get it. It's a big financial expense. But also, if you budget for it, like, you just do it year round, it's, I don't know, you get to the season, you don't have to stress about it. You just got to be excited about riding your bike.
Paul, do you think before you click?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to make that commitment if I can't afford it.
Yeah.
But if that's my focus, and I have no problems, because that $300 from my perspective is the experience. Yeah. It is unique. There isn't anything else, you know, that compares to that for me. But I was sitting there thinking about, like, Grand Fondo's. People buck. I mean,
well, that's my next. Yeah, I'm about to go to that. Yeah.
It's like $200 for one day, and there's, like, you get a t-shirt.
Levi's Grand Fondo from anywhere from 100 to 295.
Jeez.
Belgian Waffle, California, 250. The Grand Fondo Leavenworth here, reasonably locally, $95. Our local Twilight series is $30 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. $30 for a 45-minute crit.
Was there nine in the series?
Nine or ten. Yeah.
Nine or ten.
No. Oh, for our series? Mm-hmm. It's six.
Six.
It's six.
Six of them.
At what point, and I, you know, my co-race director and I are getting complaints. We get them every year about people about the 24-hour race, about the fact that this is really expensive, even though, you know, we have the venue, we have the course, we have times, they get four meals.
Jeez.
They get a shirt. They get all kinds of stuff like that. You know, and I'm the guy, you know, God bless Eric Ewing's heart, my co-race director, because he's the guy who handles these emails, because I'm the one who's wanting to type the email going, then don't fucking come, yeah, asshole.
My response,
you know, but he does it so well.
My response to all of that would just simply be the fact that, like, cyclists are for some freaking reason so cheap, right? Like, they will spend so much money.
$12,000 on a Pinarello.
Oh, my God. I have fit so many bikes this last week that are, like, you know, $5,000. And I'm like, look, that's a terrible saddle. I put on a different one. They're like, yeah, that is a lot more comfortable. It's $140. Nah, I don't think I want it right now. And I'm like,
because okay. It's cheap?
Because it's $140. No.
Oh.
It's like, that's too much. You know?
It's like, you're on a $5,000
bike. $5,000 bike. Oh, and that's just my point. Like, with the race, it's like, man, how much time did you put into this? Right?
Yeah.
And you have to pay all of those people that are helping you, right? Like, hopefully you guys get a cut of that. You're not just volunteering this.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, yeah. Why don't you volunteer your time, Joe?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, that's my response to it. It's like, no, you're paying for, like, all of this effort that goes into it. It's hard.
I could say, and I want your guys' comments on bang for your buck, stage races versus fondos versus things like that. But I will say, I don't know Ace. I barely talked to the guy. I guarantee you he is not sitting back on a Scrooge McDuck pile of money, laughing his ass off and just, you know, planning to vote Republican. He's not that type of dude. You know, I don't know his political affiliation, but this is not a business for making hand over fist money.
No, but he should be able to make a living. This is a full year
damn right.
of work.
Damn know? Right, yeah. Absolutely. But you know, when you talk about, and I know what Paul's going to say about fondos versus, you know, what did we pay for Chafe? $100. It was around $100, mm-hmm. right? Plus,
I think
you had
it's
to get
more.
A,
I think it's
plus you had to get a fundraising amount for another $95.
Don't yeah. If you yeah. don't get the fundraising yeah. amount, you're paying all of it
for a ride and Kirkland nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I will say, I know I'm talking about how like
we can complain by the way.
Well, yeah, I know I'm talking about how like registration prices are so high and I'm sounding like I'm struggling financially. No, that's not it. I pick and choose what I like to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, I plan my mm-hmm. season around what I want to do. But and Tour de Bloom just didn't kind of pinhole into that. But mm-hmm. I will say I find that the stage racing it now that I'm kind of doing it a little bit more feels like more of the bang for your buck. Because I will say when we went to Belgian Waffle, when we paid that, I was like, okay, that was like, that was an experience. That's not just like a ride. Oh, go and do it.
That was a 2 week vacation.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. And yeah, you get aid stations. Their expo is extravagant.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to meet like some of like your heroes, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the only time when I was like, okay, a 1 day ride, I feel like this is kind of worth it. Cause I think Chafe, what we did was great. And I mean, we won and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start kind of like looking at prices of fondos. I mean, our Coeur d'Alene one, which I don't know is happening
anymore. I
know.
I think it's dead.
Yeah. Was like 300 or something like that mm-hmm. for just the fondo. And I remember seeing that and going, wow,
no,
I could do a stage race. We did a stage race for what? How much was Missoula? $40?
Yeah.
$50?
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
And
yeah.
I felt like I got more out of that weekend than I did out of a fondo, where I would have essentially at the end of it complain about how I felt.
It's a fine line because there are also people who don't want to race, who do want the catered experience, who are stopping at every food stop, and who are getting their full value. They're signing up for the Coeur d'Alene fondo. They're doing every food stop. They're taking the boat cruise. They're having the post-race dinner and stuff like that. Then you've got the people, and Sam, you're right. We are cheap bastards when it comes to it. A lot of us are. We'll spend all this money. You know, you spend $400 on a skin suit, but if the registration is $40 over, you're going to complain or send a nasty email.
Yeah. And I think like it's like just listening to our talk and not like blaming anybody for any of this, but it's just how I see it is like a fondo in a race is a totally different thing, right? Like what you're doing with a 24-hour race, what Ace is doing with Tour de Bloom, all of those are that is honestly like your job, right? Because you have to spend so much time. And I'm not saying that a fondo doesn't, but honestly, like a fondo has to set up a course. Most of them just have arrows go in this direction and like that's it, right? Like Yeah, they probably have to get some kind of
stuff like that. Yeah,
but it's not as big of a thing, so we can't compare those two. Like, that's just totally a different thing. If people want to do fondos, great. You're going to get what you pay for a fondo, which is going to be snacks and all that other stuff. If you're paying for a race, it's like you're paying for somebody's livelihood that's put in a lot of time and effort to present this, you know, race and give you an opportunity to have.
It's also funny that the term fondo is being associated with a lax ride, because I've been doing several fondos that
are
far from that. That's especially the vicious cycle ones. They are races that everybody can ride, and you're not going to get pulled by some guy in a teal blue shirt and a shitty hat. So, you know, I don't know, you know, and Paul, I kind of saved you last for this because I know your opinion on fondos, and I know your opinion on value of races, and how you rank the two.
But I think it's a personal thing. I have a friend, Gage, who's over doing, it's in Spain called the 360, and they ride 360 miles through, I think, the Pyrenees. I can't remember how many.
Wow.
Something goofy. That has like no, I have no desire to do 360 miles, even if it's pan flat. That's just not me.
Isn't it over multiple days too? With
I can't remember the whole thing. I kind of went glossy eyed when you tell me about it.
It's like, it's like a full event. Not, like you got like wine massive. And cheese at
yes,
the end
it
of the
is.
Night.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's, like, it's one of those things.
Yeah,
it is a big event. They're over there right now. They're going to be doing it, I think.
I want to have Quaker oatmeal in the morning and like just dry pasta and potatoes at night. I want to be sleeping on a couch, maybe in the dirt. That is
so. That's man. Part of see that's
stage racing.
Yeah. So that's the
what
glory.
Are you doing,
this is
you moron.
What? But that's part of the experience of a stage race. There is, you have to budget to find. It is. Because
see?
Think about where we went to in Missoula. We went to the White Tiger.
The White Tiger.
But
the Murder Motel.
Let me check with mother.
But it's one of those things that, yeah, it wasn't, I would not go back there, but it was certainly a topic. And that's part of the stage racing
the
to
stories.
Me. The stories that come, the travel. The
stories.
You know, I was the first one to show up at the hotel,
so
and I'm
bad.
Looking around, and I'm like, am I in the right place? Because this looks like a fucking armpit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a whole, that's kind of the fun part of it, you know, and you struggle together, and you even though some people get so wound up, but trying to find a place to eat, and you get more people, like you have a team of five or six, and if they bring their significant others, they're like, well, I don't want to eat pasta today. We had pasta before we left,
you know.
And so there's, you know, it's just those things that make the experience, and that's good. But for me on fondos, I don't know. It just seems like a lot of money, and I'm not a person who stops and eats Kirkland muffins and you know, free can of Coke or pickle juice. That's just not my thing that I want to do, you know. And I don't want, after going as hard as I can, I don't want to sit on a cruise.
Yeah,
you know, I want to be with my teammates, John, over what we just experienced. To me, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, God, that was fun.
Going back to your hotel with a chalk outline on the floor.
That's what you dream of.
You pulled a... Now, we keep going back to that race, but you were smart enough, Jackson, to just go...
Relocate.
I'm going to pay for two hotels.
Yeah, I was fine with that.
I was smart. I peeled back the sheets, looked for bed bugs.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to make sure I did bring any of that home.
Yeah. Make sure they didn't scatter.
Yeah.
The lights come on. They go... all over the place. One of them stops, look back at you, and flips you off.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You paid for this, bastard.
That bug just flipped me off. So, yeah, I you know, obviously prices have gone up. They have to go up because, especially in this country, with permits and with liability insurance, with all that kind of stuff, it's out of control. I mean, that's some of the biggest costs when it comes to this stuff. And you know, with you can easily say, wow, that race is too expensive, then do say it's too expensive. Don't go. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's better off if you don't go, because then if you go to a race and you know you spent too much and you're upset with the experience, it's going to be a bummer for you. It's going to be a bummer for everybody you're around. If you're going to go and please God, from the point of a race promoter, don't be a dick just because you can hide behind a keyboard. Don't be that person who sends a horrible email or horrible anything like that. I receive constant emails from people saying, I will not be attending your race because of blah, 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 blah. Then don't fucking email me. Just don't come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sit in your little shithole, pet your 19 cats, and complain to your mom upstairs that you need more fucking meatloaf. Just eat shit, dude. I mean, if you're that, then come talk to me in a person so I can look you in the face and say fuck off.
But this feels like a personal story.
Oh no, I feel for so many race promoters who get just punched with this all the time, because as an announcer, I'm usually there at events and people come up to me and they want to complain, you know, they want to go full Karen, and I have to send them to the race director, and they're being complete assholes to the race director, and it's like, how is that going to make anything better? Mm-hmm. Do you think the race director is going to go, oh my God, you're right, I will change everything, let me grab my, you know, my Harry Potter device and turn back time and make everything better, you asshat? Don't do that. If you're upset with the race, don't go back. It's okay. It's okay. And you can tell your friends that you had a bad time, and your friends don't have to come back. That's okay. Don't be a dick. These people are working. They're doing the best they can, you know, and I think that's the hardest part of understanding it. You know, empathy has left our society. People have so ill ability to look at somebody else's perspective and understand that they're doing the best they can, best intentions. And it's frustrating, especially somebody who sees it. I put on one race a year, but I see it behind the scenes on so many races. It's just, it's crazy. There, soapbox off. Did we cover that?
Yeah.
Sam, you better go fast. And if you don't go fast, complain to Ace. Blame him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you know, anything happens, I'm just going to tell Ace it's his fault.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back, Ace. You're going to miss me for it.
Yeah.
You didn't make me fast enough. Yeah. So, quick news time. Brought to our by our friends. I'm going to say it, Beneditos, because I don't have a specific sponsor tonight. If you're in Spokane, grab a pizza. Grab some of this Citra Burst IPA, which is keeping my vocal cords moving so smoothly. Hey, the Babe Ruth of cycling strikes again. Tade called a shot at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and all fell exactly according to plans. First off, who watched? I'm assuming everybody in this room watched, because Peter Sagan fan isn't here.
I kind of feel like he might have.
Did he?
I think he did.
He watched a little like pop-up cartoon video on YouTube. It's just like going, boop, here's the bike racer. He's going fast here. Okay, there's
it's like a short.
Yeah, YouTube, exactly. Yeah. Who was surprised is the next question.
No, I don't think anybody was.
Who thought it was a bit boring?
Yeah.
Nobody's willing to admit this. I am willing to put my fist on the podium and say, solo attacks, I'm getting tired of them.
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
You know, the way that I look at it is we're watching history. Mm-hmm. This is like the Merckx period where people like let someone else win. But I'm trying to enjoy it as much. It's not as intriguing as a race.
Mm-hmm.
But that the last climb at Liège, Tadej Pogačar, after his long break, what was it, 40? No, how many K did he go? 40K?
I didn't 50, write down.
35K or something?
50, I think.
Well, because it was on the Lara Dude, so it's 35K to go. So the very last one, after people were chasing and chasing, he has now the KOM on the very final climb. And it's like, God almighty, the guy's just a beast.
Yeah.
But so those are the things that I take away from that. But as an event, like this year's classics, they were a turd compared to like years past.
Paris-Roubaix sucked this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Because it was
just lame.
Dominated.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the past when, like, thinking back, there was that exact same spot. That's where in 2012 where Tom Bonin took off and he soloed away. But there was always a little bit of you know, I think equipment's getting so good that they really can go without having. He had no incidents,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Pogacar. But you didn't know back in 2012 something was going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. There's always that, and people were within range that they're going to catch him. Is he going to blow up? But these two guys, they've won six monuments each.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's crazy.
If we had one of them, it would be unbelievable. It would be absolutely amazing.
But then look at Wout.
Yeah. If Wout was at full strength,
he would have probably been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
All of the monuments this year would have been that way.
Jackson lifted part of his mustache off to the side.
Wow. I don't believe.
I'd be really interested to see what Wout was training like this year, because I'm really starting to see the first, second, third of the three of them. And it feels like we have a tie for first and somebody bringing up the rear. And I feel like it's always Wout every single time. I love the guy, and he's unbelievable when it comes to stage racing. He is the ultimate domestique. He's probably, if he set his mind to it, could win all of the sprinter's jerseys of all of the three grand tours. But he's not going to beat Tadej, and he's not going to beat Matthew. That sounds so terrible.
Send
but
all correspondent to jackson@packfiller.com.
Wout is a generational talent, but is he that Merckxian type of rider?
I would like to say, and this is coming from a guy who also can't really talk much about it, who is winning in the children department? Because he has, what, three kids now, Wout?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm just saying,
so his
like,
seed is slowing you down.
Oh, okay.
No, but like, save your seed. If you imagine, it is his profession, and I'm sure he is very focused, but he's also now a dad of three. I'm sorry, but the other two are just straight racers. That's true. Right? And so it's like, I think that if Wout really was that singular in his thoughts, that he would be up there for all the monuments. You know, I think him and Vanderpool would be the same, but neither one of them are going to touch Tadej. Tadej's in everything.
I think it would have been interesting this year because there was, it was right out the front beginning of the year, even during cross season. Wout said his focus were Flanders and Roubaix,
he was really peaking for that.
And he's. I think that it would have been at least way more interesting if he did not win. It's just an unfortunate thing, but as a character, I think that's one of my favorite people that's racing right now. That's got a balance in life, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Vanderpool fan.
No,
he just seems to be.
Oh, I love him.
Tadej is another great character for cycling. Yeah. Yep. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Parenthood. Last time I won the Twilight Series, 1999.
Hey, what year were you born?
Jackson. I was born then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that? I'm just curious. Was Michelle pregnant at the time?
I wasn't paying attention.
I'm only curious because, like, then you had your dad Watts, but you didn't have the child yet.
No, actually, I'm lying. I think last time I owned the Twilight series was 2000 when I was stay-at-home dad for 4.5 years with Jackson. Mm-hmm. They were good years.
He would go out and train.
Yeah, I'd put him down for a nap, and I'd hit the road for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Here's a bottle, kid, if you need
with
it.
With a little bit of whiskey on it.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe the extended range of those wireless baby room monitors. Unbelievable.
I could be out in Genie.
Yeah. Oh, he's up. Yeah. Better turn around.
That's how I ended up how I am.
Yeah. Happily not including me on weeknight rides.
Yeah, all right.
Earned.
I will say, back to the racing.
Yes.
Yes, yes. It was interesting to see that race is pretty much won the exact same way every year.
Yeah, Remco.
Remco did it.
Same place, same time. Yeah.
Big up to Carapaz. I'm happy to see him back at the front.
Absolutely.
It was really cool.
Ramon Bardet.
Yeah, Ramon Bardet.
What the hell? How did he do that? Yeah.
Bardet's kids were quoted as saying, I didn't think Daddy could beat Matthew Vanderpool.
Yeah.
So cool. 33 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
He's another good guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's a good character.
Yeah. Touching on Flesh Wallone, big up to Stevie Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
The hell was going to think that guy was going to win?
What a miserable day that
None
was.
None of us picked that one.
No.
Yeah.
It was just cool.
Do you think that was because of the conditions?
No one. I mean, really
that's part of racing.
That's though. Still a bike race. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish more names went. More bigger names went. But I get skipping.
A lot of them started and they didn't make it past the like Pidcock. There was everybody almost that we all picked.
Yeah.
Just like said, no we're way. Freezing. We're not. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But once again, I mentioned him again. Carapaz. Mm-hmm. I love seeing him. I'm interested to see what his Grand Tour season.
Egan Bernal did.
Bernal did
very well.
I love to see that. I really hope they invest a lot of time into his Grand Tour season. Because he is, you can tell, he's just a cut above when he comes back from an injury like that. What, 2 years ago? Last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. To see that he's back racing at the front is really, really good for him.
Does anybody have any shocking revelations? Now, next week we are... Sam, you're not going to be here to talk about the Giro preview. Does anybody have any... I don't know. I think so-and-so is going to win the Giro.
Tade.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm glad that... You know, GCN isn't alive this year because I probably wouldn't have watched the Giro anyway since he's just going to ride away every day.
I'm going to watch every day regardless. But, yeah. It's
a Tade show.
Yeah.
It will be.
It is. Well, my other news story I was going to cover is postdated and it is truly shocking. In case you guys didn't know, the NCL has announced that they would pause operations for the 2024 season. Does that come as a surprise to anybody?
Huh. No. I mentioned this in our group text. I feel bad for the riders that had committed to the NCL-specific teams.
they're out of a job.
Yeah. EJ Trains is a YouTuber out there, and his coach is Tyler Williams. We've talked about him on this before. But Tyler went, and he was on Miami Knights, who was specific to the NCL. And... he raced one race with some guys that were going to be on some team in the NCL, and now he had to scramble. Luckily, the guys at, formerly Legion. But now the Miami Blazers picked him up. But it's like, he had to scramble. He was out of a job because he put all of his eggs in that basket. I just feel bad for those guys.
He's
screw the NCL.
To,
What
second at Pro Nats last year?
Was it the
hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. You ask him for an autograph. Yeah. Ask him for an autograph.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like when I was
in mid race.
When he laps you.
Boy. Yeah.
Hey, can I have your autograph?
Yeah.
It's like when I saw Horner at, you know, Bend back in the day. I was like, good race yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't see you.
Yeah.
But I think you did go.
You should have just come up to him, giving him a noogie.
Yeah.
It's like a balloon.
Because he's bald.
Yeah.
If I rub your head, it'll stick to the wall. Such a dick. Was it the format that killed NCL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because crit racing is cool.
Did they F with something that didn't need to be F'd with?
Yeah, why they made it like a auto racing start, I find really weird.
Do I need a scoreboard to show me who's ahead of the race? Do riders need to sub in and sub out?
There's also, I think they kind of were in over their head a little bit with the finances of it. It was a lot of money. Like a lot of money was put into this.
Yeah.
We can all agree, there is a place for a U.S. crit series.
Oh, absolutely.
And it would get the notoriety. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can think of times when I've sat down with my wife, who obviously knows bike racing. She's been, you know, immersed in it for years. She's not a bike racer, but she will still watch a YouTube Twilight Crit race with me going, shit, this is good. And even that's just people with GoPros.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, love them or hate them, the Williams brothers were very close to something with the Lion's Den. They did something really, really cool there. They had such a big prize money or a big prize purse. If anybody's going to put together a league like that, they're going to be a part of it. I think Corey, more than Justin now, because he kind of dropped all sponsors.
Yeah.
Put his ego aside, he does some cool things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was reinventing the
wheel.
In
a milder way, they just went kook.
Yeah. Corey's got his head screwed on a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I mean, but like crit racing is so cool. Imagine if there was like, you know, it, like in the tour where you've got motorcycles that are right there, right? Like imagine if there was a crit, you know, and there's like some really well-trained motorcyclist that's on the front with a GoPro on the back and they're railing through corners at the same speed. It would be so exciting to watch.
You guys, HBO Max has been showing World Cup mountain bike racing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has been some of the best footage I have seen. I know Paul's just glassing over, but the racing has been unbelievable. The camera footage has been amazing. They have drone footage at specific moments throughout the race covering the leaders. It's there. It's there. If mountain bike racing, I would like to spend a whole show talking about how much I miss old school mountain bike cross country racing. This new format is basically a large circuit race that is spectator friendly, and crit racing is spectator friendly. And guys, the technology's there.
I think you can quote me on this when you say, in the future, somebody give me money when this comes up. I think HBO getting their grubby little mitts in there is going to have a lot of good to do with American pro cycling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Max app, being able to have access to all that stuff. And I'm sorry, Flowbikes is still shit in the bed.
Yeah.
My God. When I... no. Okay. let's get to segments.
Don't get him started.
Yeah.
Ooh, cleansing breath.
Tonight's segment is sponsored by our friends at the Pros Closet. Vast array of gear, full bikes that, although gently used, could trick to just about anybody thinking you're a dentist. Get over to the Pros Bike... Pros Closet. I've had some beers.
Thanks, Benedito's.
Use our link. Benedito's. Use our link. David, when he walked up to me in Montana, how many beers you had, fucker?
I'm better.
I'm on my second. And he goes, I've had four. And he still beat me the next day. Man. Well, now we're in different races anyway. So let's get to it. we'll start with Sam.
Yes.
Bike fit tips with Sam. Brought to us by Ambassador Cycling. Get fit to get fit. AmbassadorCycling.com. I'm almost kind of good at that. It's almost like I'm a broadcaster who went to school for this and ended up in his basement. you know, Sam, I know this is probably like a kiddie kind of kid gloves kind of question for you, but I've been thinking a lot about the fact that cleats and pedals with play. I remember when Paul and I can recall when like Look came out, and actually I think it might not have been Look, it might have been Time that first came out with the ability to have a little play in the foot. Why is cleat placement so important when you can kind of get close, eyeball it, and hope everything works out for the better?
Yeah. This question kind of made me wonder if I was in the Matrix today, because I had this in a bike fit.
Whoa.
The guy was,
I seen that cat before.
I did a fit on a guy who... historically, I was right. Speed play. Everything speed play.
Yeah.
And got a gravel bike. Was like, I should make the move to SPDs or some kind of a gravel-ish mountain bike off-road pedal. So he's like looking at speed plays. Didn't really like them, but he wants to float. And I'm like, you know, float really isn't that important. Like if you want to just like generically slap on some cleats, throw on some speed plays, open the, you know, adjustment up all the way, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Right, you're not going to hurt your knees. But if you get a proper bike fit, that takes into account where that float is, and you shouldn't be bumping up into that. So, like, I would even be confident fitting somebody down to zero if they have healthy knees, right? And a couple other factors, but down to the zero float, I don't think it's really that important to have it. You feel a little bit more glued into the pedal, like, you know, when you're riding, you don't have that little bit of movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Especially like going through corners, when you go to sit to stand, all that. So I don't think it's really that important if you have a proper bike fit, that you have the bigger floats. It's just the margin of error. If you're just slapping them on yourself, yeah, go with more float. Go with the yellow cleats for Shimano or whatever else.
Red.
Yeah, red for Low Kyo. Yeah.
Is gray fixed?
No, gray. Gray, that's it. Red is fixed.
All right.
Yeah, the, gray.
Well, there's red, gray, and black.
Oh, okay.
Black's, I feel like the black is the fixed.
Yeah.
Gray has a little bit. Red has the most.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then yellow, red, and blue is zero for Shimano. But anyway, like, why I bring it up is, no, if you have a proper bike fit, if you want to be more fixed in, you'll see a lot of the pros running zero float.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, more glued into the bike. I mean, that's your one point that you're actually fixed into the bike. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good question.
Well, I just, yeah, I don't even think most people think about the options of varying degrees of float.
Yeah, it's like, these are on sale, I'm going to get these.
Or it matches my shoes. You know, I'm not belittling.
No,
because I have gray and red cleats in my shop right now, and I honestly, I don't think I knew the difference.
Yeah. And on, like, yeah, we're not trying to poke fun at anybody. I mean, that is truly the type of stuff that goes through it, your brain when you're buying the stuff and you're new. It's, you know, I just did a fit to a person who bought a bike in January, never historically ridden a bike, 35 years old. They're signed up to do Ironman in June. Oh. And I'm just like,
God,
whew, that's a learning curve. Yeah. And they're like, so I don't know how to ride a bike yet, but I'm wondering. And I was like, oh, what was it like when I was first thinking about these things? And she was walking me through like what she's been thinking about. And I'm like, oh, that's a different perspective. Wow. So, yeah, no, like the whole, this matches my shoes, I'm going to buy them
apparently,
the gray instead
apparently
of.
Apparently, denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Yeah, it's that's, a thing.
No offense to this person, but that's a horrible way to hate the sport.
Got this.
It's a great way to hate the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so I signed her over to the coach. She is, honestly, she'll be good. Like, I mean, she's going to be fully immersed for the next like month in just bikes. But yeah,
wow. Okay.
She'll finish. Probably.
So many things I want to say right now.
I'm helping.
So many things I want to say right now. But I'm not going to.
Look, please, if you get a result, I'm curious how that goes.
Yeah.
That's from couch to crit. Nothing compared to this.
I know.
You not even knowing how,
not
to,
even
ride
know how
a bike.
To ride a bike. And now she's riding a half or doing a half Ironman. Yeah, it's crazy. Pretty cool. Yeah. Like,
I just had an image of training wheels and an Ironman.
Somebody give me a push out of transition.
Yeah, yeah.
But like seeing how she like just hops on a bike, I'm like, whoa, that's wild.
Yeah. Is it like stepping over the top tube?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, okay. I can't touch the floor from here.
Yeah. But you have to learn somewhere, right? Like, I don't know. I'm a huge fan
with,
of getting people
not
into.
With a few weeks
I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good idea. I'm just saying that, like, it was very interesting to go back to the idea of, like, what was it like when I was new? I remember going into that, and I was like, what are knee warmers for? Do these go down? And I, like, pulled them down to kind of my ankles, and they just barely went above my knees. And I was like, bibs? Like, do I put them over my shoulders? Yeah. Or do you, like, tuck that into. Oh, God. It was like the weirdest.
Am I supposed to wear underpants?
Yeah. Oh, that was real.
Mm-hmm. No, I guarantee that, that's happening regularly.
Yeah.
That somebody just says, does your junk hurt?
Yeah.
That's because you're wearing, some Fruit of the Looms underneath your shorts. And that's not a good idea.
Oh, you're chafing on both sides? Yeah. Quit wearing whitey tighties.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Paul, you got something for us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love Paul's one. Changing times. Changing times with Paul Main. I just want to let this just out as it is. I'm going to add some sound effects to it, though.
Well, the clicking of an old, theater.
I mean, it's like you're in an old saloon.
Yeah.
No, I might have to find some voice clips from you from past shows at the past. It's like, maybe your pig squeal.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got for us this week, man?
Well, it kind of ties into what we've been talking about, but road racing and just the experiences that I went through, I think it's a very unique sport, and my frustration is how everybody tries to make it more like Formula One and talking about the NCL just fits right in there.
That did.
It's like trying to reinvent road cycling so that most people who are not familiar with it can get it. I just feel like, road cycling is kind of one of those kids in school. They weren't really dorky but they're just kind of unusual. You talk to them, hey, they're not that bad. I mean, that's as a sport. That's
cross
kind
of country runners of
yeah,
high school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're just like, they seriously. They
no,
are.
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's where most they're of them not, come to us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it frustrates me when everybody wants. I agree with advancing the sport with technology and stuff, but at a certain point, the focus is more on the equipment than the person. And to me, that's such a huge drawback. And not that it needs to be equal, and nor do I want to go back to toe clips and straps or, you know, down tube shifting. I like the technology we have, but this huge, whether it's perpetuated by the industry or people trying to make road cycling something that it is not. And we talked about, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, about the lady throwing the hat in there. Should we get the people back? That's all about that unusual kid that you met in your class, and you're like, hey, you know, he's pretty cool. It's just a little different. It's curiosity. Yeah. And I think a crit series, just what we know, the Tulsa Tough, that's the highest number of entries, and that's a great success story. And it's just packed with people. And you can go on YouTube and you can look up, just put in Tulsa Tough, and you can just get downloads of all these different things mm-hmm. about that. And it is a party, and it is, people love it. And even when we had Crits downtown here, people are like, aren't you going to bring that back? I mean, I've heard that since 2013, I think, was the last time we had it here, the downtown
crit. God, it was that long ago.
So 11 years ago, everybody's like, that was like the coolest experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, for if U.S. Cycling's going to do anything, and it's frustrating for you, USA Cycling doesn't seem to focus on that. They're not helping perpetuate or create a more of a series that's sustainable, as opposed to I don't know where the money goes.
It's funny because WSBA is behind people like Ace.
Yeah.
And you know, the meetings I sit in on are very much invested in making these things happen. I don't know about USA Cycling because I'm not privy to that information. Mm-hmm. But I will say that there, you know, making races happen is the priority of at least our regional district.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to, you know, they're having a hard time showing off of the fact that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, when people ask for, hey, we should buy a trailer full of gear for each side of the state, WSBA is like, we voted for it. Okay, let's mm-hmm. do it. You know, I hope I'm okay to say that. But how do you, you know, you don't go out and you brag about it. Hey, every USA Cycling or person on WSBA, you know, see what we're doing?
Yeah.
You know, it just shows up at a race and they don't mm-hmm. understand those things. But no, I agree with you. When at the national level, we've got to fix, NCL tried to create a model that didn't need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. We have the model in this country. Now in Europe, there are different methods and different ways of making bike races happen, and they're probably more effective and less litigious, but here they can happen, and we just need to capitalize on that. When you've got 2,700 people showing up to Tulsa, Oklahoma,
well,
you know, something works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to bring back just one last thing on that that I want to finish up on. Although it was a stage race with Washington Trust Classic in 1989, my older brother actually did the promotion on that. He created the Mount Spokane finish, and the downtown crit was pretty much established at that point in time. And then I'll plug, if you go to Brent Soderberg's YouTube channel, I don't know what it, I can't remember what the name of his YouTube channel. Maybe it's just Brent Soderberg's channel or something. He has a series of Washington Trust Classic back then. And if you go back to watching, because there was actual film, video footage in 1989, VHS, kind of grainy.
Brent, send me a link.
Manitou crit, mm-hmm. you can watch downtown crit. And the downtown, the Pro 1-2s, I mean, you watch them come around the corner. They had stationary cameras. They go around the corner. You see the lead pack take the first corner off of a block. You're just going to see cyclists. There's 100.
It's 25. Great.
And people have no idea. And the crowds were packed. Yeah. It was just, that's the stuff that got me like, this is cycling. And
it's a shame that I don't know whatever happened, but all of a sudden everybody's like ignore the fact that this is something that could really be big, and it really can be, and we see pieces of it like with Tulsa Tough.
I would just say that, like, you know, big Belgium guy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what's popular there? The classics. The classics, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you think about that, like, that's what the U.S. has. We have crits. Like, that is our thing.
That is,
right?
Yeah.
Like, go on that.
Yeah.
You know, we have, like, some of the best crit racers. We have all that. It's, go on it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Put a crit in, like, if there was, like, one of those huge level crits, like a Tulsa Tough crit in, like, Seattle.
Paul, these guys don't know the Wheat Thins Mayor's Cup.
Yeah.
Which was a national series.
Yeah.
In all these cities.
Mm-hmm. Didn't these cities, like, used to have a team that was kind of like the NBA? Like, you'd be on.
No, it was all trade teams.
But you had some. We had some domestic trade teams, mm-hmm. one sponsored by Alfa Romeo that was just a crit team.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like
Pre Legion.
Weedy Schwinn. Yeah, a lot of things like that. Yeah.
It was great. That's times. So cool.
Oh, we can get there. We can get there. Mm-hmm. Last segment. Jackson, do you know that I hold you for last intentionally?
I didn't.
The listeners deserve your style points. Wow. Style points with Jackson Bulger. What dost thou have tonight to make us look better?
Yeah. So I, what was it? 2 weeks ago now, I showed up to our Thursday night race, and in pretty much
How'd that go? I can't remember.
It went all right. I showed up in something pretty similar to this, but my wife said to me, she goes, this is like the most dressed up you've been for a race. And I was like, oh, I guess it is kind of. Like,
pre-cycling gear stuff?
Yeah, like pre. Oh, like, well, like I walked up to the registration tent and everything. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, I guess it is. It wasn't intentional. Maybe it was like some sort of psychological shift that I've had recently. But I don't know. I was just like, I felt like it was what I wore to the day. And it got me thinking about this. So I have a note titled pre and post. It's not the beer and the coffee this time. Do you even think about what you typically wear to a race?
I'm rolling up in my Lycra.
Are you?
Yeah. Because I'm rolling up with 1 minute to go.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
I intentionally go, I think about what I'm wearing, but I don't think about what I'm wearing for anything other than convenience.
Right.
And because I think about the fact that we might be going to eat dinner afterwards. So I don't want to sit in a pub in my chamois.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Place has got enough yeast. Am I right?
Wow.
Paul, do you think about it at all?
I don't know if there's really a thought process, but I always would go in just regular street clothes.
Yeah.
I don't like showing up on my kit.
Yeah.
Unless I'm running late, that's the only time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I like that it's kind of a procedure for me. It's just like, you know, whatever I'm going to go to the race to, or even afterwards, I'm going to wear if we're going to meet up and stuff.
Yeah.
Go there, register. And when I start putting on the kit, that's when my mind switches. That's
I really like that. I never even thought about it that way. That's great, though. It's kind of like a pre-ritual thing.
Yep.
So, do you think about what?
No, I'm just, you got me thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sorry I interrupted you with my
like suits.
When I was a junior, we had specific, and you know, this is the 80s, so we had had polo shirts
mm-hmm.
with the team logo mm-hmm. on them that we wore everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let's do it.
I know, like
we had Audi stuff that was all branded Audi and Arc'teryx, and
I just think it's kind of it's kind of interesting to think about that, because I also thought about Justin Williams. He and Corey were talking about one time that they like to show up to races in like Jordans and like really cool chains. High-end sneakers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, chains, stuff like that. Just like something you never see when it comes to a typical bike racer showing up to an event. And I don't know. I think that's cool because nobody else really does think about that anymore. And it's something that I want to really start doing, because Paul, I really like that idea of like a ritual. Mm-hmm. It's like you take it off and you take off your regular clothes and it's just, you're ready to go.
And putting on my super suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my super suit? And you know what? The big part of that is the post.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mention it. I'm gonna mention it, and I'm gonna try not to drop more than three F bombs. But how many races take podium shots and post them on their websites?
Look at number four.
Oh, I'm stealing from you. Go.
No. Go. Keep going. But I'm saying that's funny because I was gonna talk about it.
That post race photo where it is being slammed out over instant on social media, and where your sponsors are looking at you taking those images and tagging them and making them happy and all those warm and fuzzy and things like that. And if you're standing there in your gross kit with your helmet on.
I was always in the appropriate gear.
With his helmet.
With my helmet, yeah. Which was the appropriate gear.
You know, I'm going to sound like an asshole, but you know what? There's even the zip up, even if you don't have a post-race podium kit or any of that bullshit, you know, zip up the jersey all the way to the top, wipe your face off, and understand that even if your sponsors happen to be, you know, your grandmother and, you know, your home-based podcast business, don't
okay, got the message.
You know, represent. That's an important part of the sport. And Jackson talks about the image of the sport. And some people might think that it's a glamour thing. It's not a glamour thing. It's a professionalism. It's
raising the bar to the you know, like next level as opposed to just being some joshmo showing up.
If the race bothers to put a backdrop for the photos, give them something in front of the backdrop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah.
Our local race has a backdrop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So dress appropriately and take your glasses off. Please take your goddamn glasses off. I hate when people pose for photos with their dark glasses on.
I'm not going to be on the podium.
No, but you will.
You were at RC3.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think about stuff like that.
Did I steal your thunder? And I apologize.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Because a lot of the stuff that I had to talk about was like, do you put specific, like, sponsor-specific things on after a race, you know, to show that stuff off? But I don't know. I think it's just something that I really want to try for, at least personally this year, is just show up and look how I feel like is good. And I also feel like I mentioned in the facial hair part of it.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of an intimidation factor. You show up, you're confident enough to like roll up in something that really isn't technically fit for a start line. Everybody's going to be like,
oh,
he's got some sort of shit together.
Goatee.
I feel like if haters are going to talk shit about that, that's just because they're weak.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also there's also the you know, the image and things like that, and it gets you excited about things, it gets people excited about things, it becomes infectious, and everybody wants to, next thing you know, another team's dressing in a polo or something like that, and everybody's going, this is fun, you know.
Yeah.
We all up the game, we bring it back to those days, and
so there we go. Influencer.
I think it's good.
Influencer.
Exactly.
Okay, we're 1:39. Okay, you guys ready for the final bumper?
Yeah.
The final question?
Yep.
Master outro. Is it this one, Paul?
That's it.
Okay.
No.
It's the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Your final K. What cycling term, trend, or thing do you wish would go away is the final K. Anybody want to go first?
I will. Time trial helmets.
Time trial helmets. Sam.
You
got a minute left. We're good.
Let me think on this.
Jackson.
The super narrow bars with the hoods bent in. I think it looks so ugly.
Yeah, that does look really bad. Doesn't Tade do that?
Yes, 50, he does.
But they're like, when they're clearly like, okay, that's like, you look like you're riding a child's bike.
Yeah.
43 seconds with my outro.
I'm gonna go with too tight of skin suits. Like they have the wings that go from
bulging out of it.
Yeah, and their elbows are like from the elbow to like the hip. It's so tight because they're wearing a size small that it doesn't even like cut up into the arm anymore. It's like if you ask them to raise their arms.
I'm sitting right here, you
asshole.
They
go right here.
I'm fucking right
here. Oh, that's my bad.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
Mine with 19 seconds left is riders who feel the need to point out everything. Back, left, right, up, below, in, next, up, Everybody, thank you for being a part of the podcast. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Thank you, man.
Sam,
thank
we're not going to talk to you next week. Go fast, man. Keep the rubber side down.
Thank you.
Everybody, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and let's just think positive thoughts for Sam. Beat those fuckers.
Please, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.